you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good Thursday morning, all. We are the Junks. We're coming to you on 106.7 The Fan, the Team 980 AM, Monumental Sports Network 2. We're brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf, home of the five-star technician. CropMetcalf.com is where you get all of your details online if you want to become part of their team. This Junks team has three members today. Cakes, at Money Metal Cakes on your Twitter, at Cakes Flops on your Instagram. Also, John Paul Flame.
What's up, Cakesy?
What's up?
Good morning. At Junks Radio is our X account.
I'm kind of selfish. I always put mine out there before I put the shows. So thank you for putting that out there. Eric Bickle is also with us.
Hey, Cakes. How did the poker go?
I cashed in the first tournament. I got 19th for, I think the payout was 1708, which is nice. I'll take that all day long.
Great job. Then I busted it, I think, like
1:57 p.m., and then I immediately went in and registered for the high roller event, which started at 2 p.m., and jumped right into that field, and I was doing okay until, a story as old as time, I got my aces cracked because I played them like a rube, and I overplayed a single pair, even though they were aces,
right?
And I jammed them straight into a guy who turned the nut straight.
Right.
So I was bounced pretty quickly in the high roller, but it's fine. I got to have dinner at MGM, let the traffic, you know, die down on the Beltway, and I got home at a reasonable time.
$1,700 cash is great.
Yeah, of course.
Your wife is happy.
Yeah, everybody's happy.
Did you break off a little for each of the kids?
Didn't really do that. No, I mean, they trust me, they get enough.
Yeah,
and there's plenty of bills to go around, and that $1,700 will be vaporized, as you know,
right,
sooner than I can even imagine.
That's, I know, cool. It's a long ways away, but have you thought about the cost of the wedding down the road?
No, not really.
Is it old school? Father of the bride, the bride's family takes care of it. I don't think that's the case anymore.
I don't know the etiquette. I really don't. I'm sure we'll cross that bridge.
I think it kind of is. But
what is Eleanor's family? Do they come from money?
I mean,
are they just normal like you?
I think they're just normal. They're not.
So you probably split the costs.
Multi-millionaires. We'll figure something out.
Yeah,
at some point.
It's something you have to think of when your kids get married.
I'm not concerned about that right now because they don't even have a wedding date.
Oh yeah, you might have 2 years or whatever.
Yeah, it's fine. It's down the road. You know, if it's an exorbitant amount that comes out of my pocket, I'll dig into the reserves and or take out a small loan. I don't know what I would do. At some point.
But not connected with my financial advisor like you guys seem to be, but I'm actually doing a lunch with him today. I've got all kinds of stuff. I have a dishwasher delivery, but the window is 11:30 to 3:30. Now, my lunch is at Coastal Flats right by my house. So if they say, hey, we got to be at the house, and I'm just going to bounce, and I'll tell them, hey, sorry, bro, or you can come over to my house.
Yeah.
So I had to move. I was supposed to do a lunch with EB's mom today, and I had the dishwasher thing, and so we're just going to do that one tomorrow.
Yeah.
I actually have thought about just siphoning off a little for like a wedding fund that would grow.
That's not a terrible idea.
I mean, you probably got to do it. I mean,
maybe I should put the money I won yesterday into like a little slush fund. I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. Who knows?
You know what? Put a little bit into a Bitcoin and just say, here's your wedding fund in a couple
years. It's not a terrible idea.
And just keep adding to it because that grows aggressively.
Well, let's hope that's the case.
And if it drops a little, you won't care.
It's not a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Maybe, look, I still have the Cakes Classic, the second of the month, tomorrow. So maybe I can add to it tomorrow and the main event on Saturday.
Right.
So there's still plenty of poker out there.
So the Cakes Classic tomorrow in the middle of the, what is it, the summer?
It's the summer Potomac Poker Open.
Okay.
Tournament series.
Okay.
Yeah. So today's a day off for your boy. I'm just going to chill. I'm going to reset the mind mentally, get dialed in for two more tournaments.
Do you ever get bleary-eyed? I guess you don't. Like, you have remarkable stamina. And I know that's goofy to say when you're just sitting down, but it's the mental stamina.
You know what? Maybe it was Drab's caffeine pill that he gave me yesterday. I considered taking another one and stuffing it in my pocket, like a in case of emergency, break glass, pop another pill, but I didn't need it. Because I just guzzle Diet Cokes and coffee, and I'm just doing irreversible damage to my heart. Is probably what I'm doing.
Well, yesterday I was out in like Jason's Hood, I guess. I don't know. We played Belmont Country Club, and afterwards we went and we went to Pupatella's.
Very nice.
I actually invited Valdez to swing by. I guess he had some stuff he had to do otherwise, but. I tell you, the Pupatella hookup is a great hookup.
it's not bad.
They're so nice to you over there. Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah.
Love it.
I don't know, Drab, are you as close to that Pupatella as the one in, what is it?
Chantilly.
Right off 50.
Chantilly's my home.
That is?
Known as Drab Tilly.
Yeah. I didn't know it was this close for you.
I know. That's my home base, too.
It's a great spot.
Yeah. They see you guys walking like, oh, here come these guys again.
Did they have the the outdoor like bar area going?
Open.
Yeah, that's silly.
Yeah. I like to sit on the indoor side, but it's pretty cool.
I'm generally not a big dining al fresco guy. I've done it before.
I mean, they have tables out there, but it's like a U-shaped bar.
Yeah.
And then one of the sides of it is outdoors because like the garage door
almost
opens.
Has like a warehouse garage door.
So you're getting your vitamin D as you pummel beers.
That's a theme I think at all their restaurants because I know the one in is it in Ashburn has that. I think most of them have that. So it's pretty cool.
I like the vibe, but for me to eat outside, it needs to be like 73 degrees. Sunny, like it's gotta be like ideal conditions.
No,
like,
I didn't eat inside.
Like I'm playing at Ford Field. I'm Jared Goff.
Yeah, I like to eat inside too.
Yeah,
I don't need bugs or anything.
Yeah, flying around.
Whatever. I just need to be inside.
Do I need car exhaust blowing in my dumb face while I'm trying to eat my appetizer? The answer is no.
Right. Right. No.
That's what air conditioning and walls are for.
We had to, though. I mean, literally, we got off the golf course and I put in the way. I knew it was going to anyway, but I put in the ways the drive home because it was like 4:30, 5 o'clock, 90 minutes.
No.
Said, we're not doing that.
It's rough.
We're going to go somewhere and we're going
to
eat.
In 2 years, the traffic will be alleviated, but they seem to have been doing construction.
I don't think
for a couple years. Maybe when that construction is done, it appears that there's going to be extra lanes.
Yeah, but I don't think it's going to be markedly different.
You're talking about like past the American Legion Bridge?
Yes, from the ALB to Tyson's, it just seems like construction nonstop.
Yeah. I think a minor faux pas during dinner yesterday. Like I had dinner at Ginger with a buddy that I play poker with there at MGM.
Uh-huh.
Ordered a beer at dinner. Just, I don't know if that was the greatest move, like right before driving. That was one beer and it was a light, like.
Well, also consider you were sleep deprived.
Yeah, I was like, I got into my car. I was like, why did I have a beer at dinner? That was kind of dumb.
It's called a habit.
It's a habit.
Yeah, the habit.
Yeah, it's a habit.
I was gone. I was gone all day, and then I had to be a father. And my wife said, "Could you pick up Kate from volleyball practice?" Right. By the time I got home, it was like 7:40. So I just had to go straight and kind of wait in the parking lot because volleyball practice ended at 8. That's about the time I got into the area. And literally, I could have fallen asleep while it was in park, while I'm like in the car line.
Yeah.
I easily could have just fallen asleep.
Mm-hmm. Your life may open up big time. She's on her learner's permit, right?
She is. Yes.
So pretty soon, you won't have to do those pickups. She'll be able to drive herself.
She will. It's only literally less than 10 minutes from my house.
Okay, it's close.
It's not like it's a look. And the
sometimes
the
you always talk about driving into Virginia
the
for
club
practices.
Thing, yeah, the club thing is pretty far. But to be honest with you, JP, and I did this with my my oldest daughter, I kind of like driving them in and spending time with them, even though it's a hassle. You know what I mean? Because it's lost. Like, you just never can make
it's
up
one
that.
Of the last times
you can never make
that
up
you'll
time.
Have, like, that one-on-one, like, hangout. Yeah,
so
I hear you.
I kind of don't mind it. I kind of like driving with them, even though they can do it themselves.
Hey, I'm going to be doing it for another minimum 8 years.
Yeah, you're definitely on the hamster
wheel. I've had a nice new routine because... Right now, she started on a new team, a travel team, and they're in kind of a camp.
Mm-hmm.
A couple days, we're at St. Andrews. I think tonight's at St. Andrews. Last night it was at a school right by St. Andrews.
It's a beautiful facility over there.
But it's 2 hours.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of parents who sit there for 2 hours. And I'm new to the team, and I've gotten to know a couple dads. Actually, this one dad lives on EB Street. Mm. Said he's never seen EB.
That tracks. That definitely tracks.
Why would anyway, he see me? I'd go in my house.
You do yard work?
Or you're sit on the stoop?
Yeah. He hits balls in the backyard.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to see me.
But now it's 2 hours, though.
Yeah. Got two hours to kill.
I go to the gym.
Yeah. Not a bad idea.
That's good.
Kind of a good deal.
That's good.
Kill some time.
To do that.
Try to get shredded.
On the comeback trail, cakes. I'm always on the comeback
everybody's
trail.
Everybody's always on the comeback. When you're in your mid-50s, you're always on the comeback trail.
On the comeback trail. You know what? I started this new routine where I go downstairs before the show, and in less than a week, or maybe it's a week, drop 3.
Very nice. Good start.
That's good.
But it's the combo. It's the morning, and then I'm actually doing like in the evening, too.
Well, I'm not going to drop any weight if I keep eating from the tray of, I won't use the word you don't like, Drab. I won't use the word that starts with S. The promiscuous brownies. There's still about a quarter of the tray left in my kitchen. And I mean, I can't walk past it and I not dig into it with the knife. And
there is such a stir about cakes calling them slutty brownies yesterday.
Why, after the show?
Was there really?
Yeah, I mean, just. I don't know. It just
I didn't make the name up.
You didn't, but just hearing cakes say it and then
and say that my daughter gave
gave me slutty brownies.
Yeah. It's just, she laugh like what she gets. She says, "Here, daddy, here's your slutty brownie."
No, not really. It's just
and so you're literally inches away from dirty talk.
Yeah. No, it's just it's. I guess we've had them so often over
it's
the years that
deal.
it's just a name. It doesn't. It never even registered that it was like.
Some
smutty,
sort of
dirty,
filthy brownie.
Your filthy whore brownies.
Filthy, yeah. Dirty brownies.
Yeah. I mean, was she making them when she was 12 and just didn't know the term?
I mean, I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, she's a graduate student. She knows the term.
Yeah, maybe we're bad parents. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
Did you actually look them up? Like, are there other names for them? Slutty brownies?
Yeah, loaded brownies.
I've never even thought about it. I just called them what I was... told they were called
slutty brownies.
See,
slutty brownies.
It's a real
slutty
thing.
Brownies. Never let me down.
Trampy brownies.
Yeah, you're dirty tramp whore
dirty,
brownies.
Dirty brownies.
Somebody says slutty brownie, aka Oreo brookie.
I mean, slutty brownie sounds better than.
Oh,
Oreo,
I've heard brookie a lot.
Oreo
what
brookie.
Does brookie mean?
Brownie
I've never heard
and cookie combo hybrid. A brookie.
Oh, because it has Oreos in it.
Oh, I see. It's a brookie.
Oh, okay. Slutty
brownies.
The Allville family, a little dirty, because I've always heard brookie. I had never heard slutty brownie until yesterday.
Those aren't the same. They're a little different.
When I was asked what I wanted as far as like a cake or what a dessert.
An Oreo brookie is different than a slutty brownie?
A brookie is just a brownie and a cookie mixed together.
Yeah.
Cakes has different stuff in it.
Yeah. Okay. I asked for brownies because I didn't want cake or an ice cream cake. And my daughter said, I'll make slutty brownies. I said, silly. Fire them up. Get as slutty as possible. That's what I said. I did not say that to my daughter. All right, we're gonna pivot here. Coming up on an Open Line Thursday, I should mention, it is Open Line Thursday, 800-636-1067. You can call throughout the show. Dave Richard is going to call because your fantasy football draft is right around the corner, and he's going to give you all the advice that you need for that. And we'll talk more NFL, and I'm sure Commanders with Warren Sharp. He is a very good NFL analyst, founder of Sharp Football Analysis. He is scheduled to be on the show at 9 o'clock. We're the Junks. We'll be right back.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Training camp coverage on 106.7 The Fan is presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation. PaulHenry'sWindows.com is where you find them online. Your clear home improvement choice. Let's get to some audio from Commanders head coach Dan Quinn. It seems like he might be getting a little bit testy about facing all of these questions about Terry McLaurin and his hold in with the Commanders.
Dan, just to clarify, will we see Terry today out here doing anything?
Not at the practice portion. He had a big part of the run that went along today. I'm not going to play Where's Waldo, guys, all right, moving forward. So just so we're clear on that. So Terry's return to play format is no different than any of the other players. And so I'm not jumping at you, Ben, but I wanted to make sure, like, the next question doesn't go down this line. He's healthy, which is now a good step to, like, getting closer to being back on the field. So you'll see that earlier than later. I don't have a date circled on my whiteboard in my office, this day for him. But, yeah, the good news, we're getting closer to that for sure.
Yeah, I mean,
Waldo reference? I kind of like that from Dan Quinn.
It's an awkward situation. These guys got to ask. They got to find out, at least get an obligatory question, and they're sick of answering.
Yeah.
You know, I do find it weird the way they dance around it. Like, he's doing everything like all the other guys, but then he's really not. Because
except for running reps.
Yeah.
It's like they're ignoring the whole contract situation.
They're trying to ignore that.
Oh, he's been out. His ankle. His ankle.
No. But now they've taken that veil off, but... he's doing his conditioning like everybody else, and his return to play is like everybody else, except it's not, because he's not returning. He's just running around with the guys in shorts. I think it was Kevin Sheehan that said his people are telling him that they've about had it with Team Terry, and that includes the agent, just everything, the whole situation. I think Nikki Chavala yesterday, she had some more clarification, and she reported that the ask is, in fact, more than DK Metcalf, whenever that is. That may be guaranteed money. It may be just total value. She doesn't know, but he considers himself better, and that, you know, he had such a big year. He's been a leading receiver every year for this team. And then I thought it was somewhat revealing that I think it was Nikki also that reported that they've kind of come to a conclusion in their head that they're not going to go above 27, maybe 28. And so therein lies the rub.
So I want to move my personal Terry-o-meter.
Yes, where would you put it?
It's only a day. I was at 70 yesterday.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to move into the yellow. I would put it at 59%.
Oh, that's...
I'm into the yellow, EB, because I just saw some stats this morning that Terry could point to, and he might be willing to roll the dice on the first game.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was our pal, Big Keith, who had sent me a text, and he said 70% week one. If they lose, he'll be there by week two, like the Commanders will cave.
Mm-hmm.
And if they win, then he's kind of screwed, then he'll have to cave. But the statistics which I saw this morning, and it just flashed before my eyes, and I tried to write them down as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But it was touchdown interception ratio to McLaurin for Jaden Daniels, and then touchdown interception ratio to every other receiver. So to McLaurin, it was 12-1.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty good percentage.
To the other receivers, it was 7-4.
Mm-hmm.
And then QBR, these are targets to McLaurin only, 91. And then to the other donks, 69. Stark difference.
Now, is that just a wide receiver?
I think so. It flashed really quick. Okay. It was up there for like 2 seconds, and I jotted it down. But that's the difference between him throwing the deep balls to Terry McLaurin, who was tracking them and getting these contested catches last year, versus throwing to the other receivers. It's a pretty damn stark difference.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of jumps off the page, but I still don't think that that's going to be enough to sway the Commanders to sweeten their deal. They seem pretty entrenched in their position.
I've been saying this for a while, and I botched the Eugene Shen thing, but I think they've got numbers people, and they are stuck in those numbers. And Terry's making an emotional appeal.
I think also, too, if those are the numbers that they're going by, even if they were to lose and the offense looks subpar against the Giants in week one, I don't think that all of a sudden makes them just ball up their process and throw it in the trash and say, okay, now we're just going to cave because we had a poor showing in week one.
Maybe
I don't
not
see that happening.
Maybe not, but maybe Terry and his agent Buddy Baker think that they could panic, you know. And Terry's making an emotional appeal. He's talked about his service here, and he's been a leader and done all the right things, and he feels like he should kind of get paid for the past.
Well, he's,
and the Commanders are looking at his age, saying you're turning 30 in a couple of weeks.
I think that tact may have worked with the previous regime. It's not working with the current one.
But let's say they lose in the opener. There might be a little bit of panic that sets in. Let's say they look at the film and guys aren't getting open. And then maybe Josh. Look, Josh is, he was in the tunnel the last preseason game, high five in the fans. Sure. He's a fan at heart. So he could come in and be like, hey, the fans are turning against us. We got to do what's right.
He's a fan, but he's also a businessman and a very good businessman. And I don't think at the first sign of adversity, if Terry misses week one, which I don't think he will, but if he did and the offense looked poor, I don't think all of a sudden they're just going to say, okay, now we're going to give you $34 million a year, or we're going to give you $70 million guaranteed, which we weren't willing to give you just a few days ago.
So you're still at 100% that he's going to play? All right. 100%. Let me ask you this. When will he have to return to practice to play in the first game?
I would think he would have to have at least 1 week of practice.
All right. So he can still hold out next week after the final preseason game.
Remember, when Peters was in San Francisco, Brandon Ayuk reached agreement on his deal, I believe it was August 29th or August 30th. It was super late.
Okay.
I mean, we still have...
Could he reach an agreement on September 3rd and still play for you?
I mean, that's butting up really close, because September 3rd, then you got 4 days till the game. How many real practices would they have between September 3rd and September 7th?
One? Probably two, maybe.
One, maybe two?
Let me ask you this. Don't you think... When I actually heard, okay, they're asking for... essentially more than DK, but let's just say DK, and then they're willing to go to 27-28. I'm kind of surprised that the Commanders are willing to go that far. Take the 28. Get them on that 28 and just come back and take this message that I took a little less than what I think I'm worth, than what I know I'm worth, because I want to win a Super Bowl this season. Because I don't want to do anything to hurt this team's chances. I think we're a special team, and I want to give us every opportunity to win.
If I were Terry,
you take
camp,
that message.
I might be willing to do that as long as you guarantee me 2 years at that number. If you guarantee me 2 years,
right.
28 plus, 28 and a half,
56 gets million.
Me to 57, 58 million. If you get me in that neighborhood.
Well, 28 plus 28 is 56.
Yeah. If you get me around there, I think...
You get me 56 guaranteed. I've accepted your number, but you GM me up on it. And I go with the message that I took less. I didn't want to protract this anymore. I don't want to deprive the fans of what we've been working so hard for. I love this team.
I might push for $60 million because that's what DK Metcalf got. Like, if I'm Terry and I think I'm better than DK Metcalf, then...
I understand. I'm sure he is.
It's going to be hard for me to swallow... signing for $4 million.
But at some
less.
Point, you got to say, okay, I got $105 million over my last two contracts. Like, this is, I'm good. I'm leaving a little
I
on the table.
I think he and his agent are overplaying their hand at this point.
Yeah, I'm leaving a little on the over the table, you know, whatever, on the table. But, you know, I think you could spin this in a way and get everybody back on your side. If it dares get to the point where he says, you know what, just to spite them, I'm going to sit out 2 weeks. That's going to get really ugly, and I do think the fan base will turn against Terry.
I will adjust the Terry-o-meter down, my personal one. If he's not on the practice field, what's today, the 21st? If he's not on the practice field by a week from today, then the Terry-o-meter
oh, it's bleak.
Starts going down precipitously.
Yeah, then it's bleak.
Then it's going into at least the light green, if not the yellow.
Yeah. I don't think.
Because he can't just agree to a deal on September 5th and play on September 7th.
No.
No. I guess he could if he's running.
No.
He's an established veteran, but he's just not.
No.
He hasn't been in any of the preseason.
It's not even
action.
Fair to the guys that have been grinding. It's not even fair to the guys.
Well, I'm not so concerned about being fair to the guys. He's the best receiver on the team.
Yeah, like, but
there's a pecking order.
There is, and he gets a lot of benefit of doubt, but I'm telling you, Cakes, if a guy just falls out of the sky.
I don't care about being fair to Michael Gallup, personally, or Noah Brown. Noah Brown never sees a practice field, and he's under contract.
I'm being extreme. If he signs like 2 days before the opener.
I'm not crazy about it, because that's just begging for him to pull a hamstring.
Begging for him to get it.
Have a soft tissue injury.
And I honestly just don't think it's fair to the other guys that have been putting in the work.
That I don't care about. I want to get my best players on the field, even if they're not at 100%.
If he's not there, who's lining up as the 1-2? Debo, obviously.
I mean, it's got to be.
Let's say Noah Brown's hurt. I would imagine it would have been Noah Brown.
Debo's not going to run Terry routes. I mean, Debo's going to run Debo routes.
So who's running Jalen Lane?
Well, they've tried him. They've had KJ Osborne out there. They've had Moore out there.
Those I mean, the guys. It's not great. They don't have a lot to pick from.
Right, and that's what he's using as leverage, and that's what he's probably going to take to the brink. But I hope.
I think they were actually running McCaffrey in the McLaurin slot during the last preseason game.
I think they've tried a lot of them.
None of them look like Terry.
And none of them, yeah,
none double of the, Terry. None of them you would mistake for Terry McLaurin.
Right. The only one that it's popped a little bit has been Lane, and I don't think they really expect him to catch a lot of balls.
All right, I go by our lads' depth charts. I think those are better than anything else on the planet. They have Chris Moore as his backup. They have Ja'Cory Brooks as the next backup. And then they have Noah Brown opposite Terry McLaurin. McCaffrey as Brown's backup. Gallup after him.
I just know in the first drive,
Debo, obviously.
I know in the first drive of the preseason game, it was McCaffrey lined up. I was a little focused on the outside.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just hope that he has a date in his brain where he knows this is like kind of like my fold date. Like this is where I
the
fold my cards.
If
you don't want to sign. And you want to hold out and try to get that big deal next year, fine. But I hope he has that date that's like at least 2 weeks before the opener. If it's like Cakes' scenario, a day or two before the opener, that's terrible.
I mean, 2 weeks before the opener is basically this Sunday.
Well, I'll take your date of next week after the preseason game.
August 28th.
I'll take
Mark that date on your calendar.
Just seems to be par for the course because we're focused on Terry McLaurin because we're here in D.C., but Trey Hendrickson's situation hasn't moved. Micah Parsons' situation hasn't moved.
Yeah, and those are
Cameron Hayward in Pittsburgh. I don't believe that situation's moved.
Those are terrible situations. You know?
But I'm going to imagine that a few of these guys are going to strike deals.
I think that there should be enough there to bridge that gap that, okay, they're not going to give you that. I mean, isn't it obvious they're not going to give you I don't think there's a scenario in the world unless Debo and two other guys all went down in the week one or something, and then they just had literally nothing. I don't think they're going to give him what he's asking for. So what they're offering I think sounds fair, actually, if that's in fact true. If they're willing to go to 28, which was what Keim reported last week, if they're willing to go to 28, just get in there and then just spin it. Spin it like a mug. Make yourself out to be the greatest guy that you took less than your value for the betterment of the team. I think you could save face here.
Time is a ticking, though, man. There's not a lot of time left.
Yeah, but they're sick of it. We're sick of it. Everyone's sick of it. And I don't know. I'm getting the sense, you're kind of getting the sense that Terry doesn't care. He's just so prideful. He doesn't care that other people are upset. You know how hard it must be to hold out when all your boys are there? And on some level, I'm sure some of them are asking him, hey, dude, man, you know, when are we going to see you, bud?
Right.
That's hard. It's hard. You're missing games.
Are you losing faith in the Jaden quote where he said he's going to be coming through that door soon?
I mean, I haven't thought about much. First I heard of it was yesterday when he told me.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that means that Jaden knows something. But I don't know, man. It doesn't look great right now. Everyone's frustrated.
Still standing on 100% of him being there week one as of right now. But that number can definitely shift backwards if he's not on the field in about a week. Got about 7 days.
I mean, it's really dumb to miss game checks.
Well, that's why I don't think he's going to miss that.
That's money you're never going to recoup.
Yeah, you're never going to get it back. All right, when we come back, we're going to give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to go see Ziggy Marley and Burning Spear at Pier 6 Pavilion. We'll also discuss where's the best landing spot for Anthony Richardson now that he has lost his starting gig with the Indianapolis Colts. We'll be right back.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment.
So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whenever you play this, I feel like the Terps are about to run out of the tunnel at CQ Field. I get a little bit fired up. First game, I believe, August 30th. So that's coming. Do they open against FAU? I'll have to check that.
What's the over-under on wins for them this year?
I don't know. I don't have any clue. Haven't looked at that market, JP. I'm just going to go blind. I'm going to guess 5.5? 6.5?
I would guess right around there.
Something in that range?
When's the Loxley pool party? Did you go to that this year? Were you not invited?
No, I was invited. Couldn't go. Couldn't make it. I believe that's 2 years where I haven't made it in a row. You know what? I'm going to have to go next summer because it's always a good soiree over at Mike Loxley's house.
FanDuel has Maryland at 4.5 right now.
Whoa, I was overshooting a little bit.
And the money's actually on the under.
Ooh.
They had a rough year last year. I think Loxley could be on the hot seat.
I mean, if they win 4 games, he's definitely going to be on a hotter seat. Anyway, the AC/DC reminded me of their intro music. So we wanted to talk about Anthony Richardson here. And by the way, at the end of the segment, we're going to give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to go see Ziggy Marley and Burning Spear at Pier 6 Pavilion for that reggae show coming up in mid-September. So keep listening for your chance to win. CBSSports.com broke down some of the good landing spots, potential landing spots, for Anthony Richardson of the Colts now that he has lost his quarterback battle with Daniel Jones, who was signed to a 1-year, I believe, $14 million contract by the Colts.
That's should they move him. Because his best situation may be just keep developing in Indianapolis, because do we really think Daniel Jones is the long-term solution there?
I don't think so, but I just feel like for him and for the Colts, the best thing might be find a trading partner, get him to a new city, let him have a fresh start. He's still young. He's still only 23 years old. Like, you don't want to just give up on him if you're another team, because he does have a crazy blend of athleticism. It's just his accuracy and the passing has not caught up, obviously, to his running skill. And he's also been injury prone throughout his NFL career. So here are some of the spots where they're suggesting would be good spots for Anthony Richardson if a trade were to ensue. The Rams are the first team that are listed because Matt Stafford's 37. He's had back pain that's limited him throughout training camp. I mean, is he going to play until he's 40 or 40 plus like Aaron Rodgers?
And he gets an offensive coach in Sean McVay, who has succeeded with different quarterbacks.
Right.
Remember, Baker went there very little time before his first start there and kind of resurrected his career.
Yep. It's in this article, it says the Rams could trade for Richardson this upcoming offseason, have him learn under Stafford before giving him a bump in pay to be the starter in 2027 when he turns just 27 years old. And as you mentioned, he would be learning under Sean McVay, so that seems like it could be a decent option. The next team listed is the Saints. You look at the Saints quarterback room, they draft Tyler Shuck, Spencer Rattler is the holdover. They still haven't named who's going to be the starter week one. They're going to take that right to the last minute. So, you know, you could get a young Anthony Richardson in there to compete with whoever else is with the Saints. But the Saints could also be picking, you know, 1, 2, or 3 in the upcoming draft. So,
and you'd have an offensive coach there in Kellen Moore,
right?
Quarterback. So that might be a decent fit. I would think a team that has a veteran who he could learn under. The Rams seems to make sense for me. And right. I was going through the teams trying to look for kind of a good spot. And one team which kind of jumped out at me was, and look, it might be a while before he would play, but the team which kind of jumped out at me for some reason was the Detroit Lions. Kind of good team.
Under Jared Goff.
You don't expect him to play for a couple years, probably.
Right.
But
maybe that's what
he
needs.
He could develop.
No, that's totally what he needs.
Yeah.
You know, he's done more in 2 years than like Trey Lance has done. And they keep giving Trey Lance opportunities. I mean, he deserves an opportunity. Deserves an opportunity somewhere where he can learn and really, you know, hone his craft.
Yeah.
No, the other one, now he would be a perennial backup, is just find a good organization, not necessarily similar Well, maybe you would say he was a similar quarterback would be the Ravens.
Right.
It'd be a backup to Lamar Jackson.
They're also listed here. They're the last team listed. It says the Ravens have a history of being intrigued by dual threat quarterbacks to place behind Lamar Jackson. They signed Robert Griffin III to back up Joe Flacco and Jackson in 2018. They added Tyler Huntley as an undrafted free agent back in 2020.
Who's Lamar's backup right now? You have to remind me.
It's Cooper Rush from Dallas.
Right. Couldn't be more different.
Did you guys watch Tyson Bagent's presser? Very emotional.
Yeah,
he talked about his dad not having running water.
You root for that. Valdez, if you can pull that up, the Tyson Bagent audio, you root for that guy. Because, you can tell, that two-year, $10 million extension,
means the world.
Yeah, he's actually going to take that money and use it wisely. And he talks about, nobody that I knew had money growing up. You can tell them.
Yeah, I think that, a lot of people don't know this, but, my dad is my, he's my right-hand man, and he didn't have running water until he was in high school. So there's definitely a lot of things that, and people that I could, that I think I could certainly help with this gift I've been blessed with, but... Yeah, just little things like that. I don't really know anybody back at home with any money. So, it feels good. It's certainly a weight off my shoulders and my family's shoulders. And, it definitely means a lot.
Man, good for that kid. Root for him.
Martinsburg, West Virginia.
Yep.
Shepherd College. Mm-hmm. Undrafted.
Humble beginnings. So good for him. That's awesome.
And signs a $10 million deal.
Yep. NFL Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Now back to the article. A few of the other teams that are listed here as far as where Richardson could land. Drab T-shirt is a new fan of this team because Pete Carroll is the head coach. They have the Las Vegas Raiders listed because Geno Smith was brought there. So he could be the guy that learns under Geno. Again, doesn't have to play immediately. Mm-hmm. There's not that pressure to get on the field in 2026. He can just be like an apprentice to an established quarterback. And I think that seems like a decent spot for him.
No.
If they're able to get.
No, that's not a Pete Carroll quarterback.
It's not.
No, Pete wants somebody who's going to take care of the ball, high completion percentage. Those are two things that Anthony Richardson, he does not want a quarterback that will cost you games.
Now,
and Anthony will do that.
In this article, that's
not a great fit.
Carroll said the Seahawks considered selecting Richardson in 2023 if he fell a bit further in the draft.
Yeah, I remember. I just don't think anything we've seen in 2 years from Richardson seems like that Pete would be interested.
But he's a little bit tantalized by it. He's tantalized by the skill set. Now, he's not tantalized by
the... I think everyone's tantalized by the skill set. The
complete lack of accuracy.
His quarterback coach chimed in and said kind of the biggest thing that he's missing is consistency.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I feel like I've tried everything I can do. His name's Cam Turner. And I feel like he's given great effort in that aspect, too. I don't think either way it's one or the other, but he's just not getting the results they want for him to be their starting quarterback.
Some people just don't have it. Do you know how many reps I've had chipping? Just not that good at it.
Yeah, you just can't get better.
I've out-repped most people.
And by the way,
just not good at it.
If I'm Shane Steichen, if I'm the head coach of the Colts, I'm still going to try to utilize Anthony Richardson in certain situations, in some packages, if I'm on the 3-yard line, why wouldn't I bring him in and put him in the backfield with Jonathan Taylor or bring him in as an option quarterback at times?
I like just that. Because,
try just, to be creative. I like it.
Just because he's the backup doesn't mean you can't use him. He's going to be active on game days.
I remember he had a quick, and we're going to have Dave Richard on the show.
Yeah.
He had a quick, two touchdown running game.
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly what happened. And then he didn't finish the game. Do you remember that game?
Yeah. Yes. I was one of the most smitten with Anthony Richardson because, he could just get it done by running. He gets you there with the running aspect. You didn't even need the passing. I'm talking fantasy football wise. I'm not talking about like real wins and losses, real life NFL football. But I mean, if he tucks the ball and runs for 80 yards and scores two touchdowns, I mean, you're throwing a party. You love that.
You know, introducing all these teams, I think, is fine. And maybe he will move and maybe a fresh start helps. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to say it again. If he just keeps grinding, he's most likely going to get another shot in Indianapolis.
Yeah, I mean, Daniel Jones.
What are the odds that Daniel Jones starts 17 games this
probably
season?
Probably not great. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Anthony Richardson, either due to injury or ineffective play by Daniel Jones, if he starts a handful of games, wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, but he's got to be prepared, and he can't just start. He's got to go out there, and at some point, he's got to start taking advantage of these opportunities.
Totally agree.
Yeah. He just may not be built for it.
May not be in the cards for him, so to speak. The last team listed here is the Pittsburgh Steelers, and that makes sense because Aaron Rodgers is 41 years old. Like, there's no real succession plan unless you count, is it Will Howard, who was drafted in the sixth round out of Ohio State? I mean, if you really consider him as the heir apparent to Aaron Rodgers,
well, you kick the tires.
I think you're drawing kind of thin.
Yeah, but you kick the tires on him, right? You won a national championship, right?
He's a big boy.
Him. Yeah.
Hey, that's Gruden's favorite quarterback prospect.
Was Will Howard?
Yeah. I wouldn't rule him out. Like, see what you got.
I think he's been injured this camp.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I saw games where he was dreadful. Don't get me right. wrong. But, you know, I don't
Didn't
know.
He have like a horrendous combine throwing? I think that was the...
Video came out of him just dreadful. Missing guys.
Yeah. Like, it was a surprise he even got drafted. All right, so those are some spots where Anthony Richardson could possibly land if the Colts decide to trade him. We told you to keep listening for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Ziggy Marley and Burning Spear. Now is your time. 10th caller at 800-636-1067. You're going to win those tickets to the show Tuesday, September 16th at Pier 6 Pavilion. Tickets are on sale right now. For tickets and more event info, go to thefandc.com/events and you can win them right here. When we come back, we will hit the skins. And don't forget, coming up in just about an hour at 8 o'clock, Dave Richard will join us. We'll talk fantasy football with CBSSports.com's fantasy guru, Dave Richard.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.